House Bill 1079, Representative Broderick.
Thank you. May I do that from here?
You certainly may.
Thank you. House Bill 1079 is an act to revise certain provisions relating to preferential deposits of financial institutions. And basically, is what that means is that this bill will lower the pledging requirements for public deposits held in South Dakota financial institutions such as banks, savings and loans, and credit unions from 110% to 100%. The current pledging law requires financial institutions to pledge 110% of public deposits with U.S.-backed securities. So if a bank such as the little bank that I ran took in a substantial amount of public deposits from the state, from the school, from the county, from the municipality, and I didn't have sufficient U.S.-backed securities to pledge for those deposits, I would have to take money out of the cash account and buy additional U.S.-backed securities in order to meet those pledging requirements. But when you do that, you lower the amount of money that's available for loans in your community. So over the years, we have looked at this, and my association as an officer and director of the South Dakota Bankers, I was very much involved in increasing this pledging requirement during the days when the FDIC insurance was less than $100,000 and we were going through some very difficult times in the banking industry. At the present time, with the insurance level of the FDIC at $100,000, it seems to me to be more appropriate to have a 100% pledging requirement of these depository institutions to protect those public deposits. The deposit institutions, the banks, savings and loans, etc., are required to file every quarter a notice to the state treasurer how many dollars they have back in these deposits, so that every quarter we know where we stand as far as those pledges for public monies. And the system is in place to protect the public monies, and I think, as I mentioned, and I'll reiterate, it's important to the banking industry and to the consumers they serve to have a lesser pledging requirement, and I hope you can support it. I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Broderick. Are there any other proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Bob Sutton with the South Dakota Bankers Association. Given the testimony I heard this morning and in respect to the chairman of the Transportation Committee, I am just pleased that these two committees meet on separate days, because I don't know how I would choose where I would want to spend my time. So thank you, Mr. Prime Sponsor and Mr. Chairman. This is the easy one. I just would like to visit for a moment about this bill and thank Representative Broderick for bringing it forward on our behalf. We made this request, as he said, because the simple fact that there are dollars that are being used to meet this pledging requirement that could be used in the community. And I'm going to use a small bank in Western South Dakota as an example. The bank in the community of Faith does get some county dollars and gets some school dollars, certainly, and some city dollars, some municipal money. And to the tune of somewhere in the range of $3 million a year, $3 million at any given time. In addition to having the securities pledged of $3 million, they have to have the additional 10%. So $3.3 million, given that round number, that's $300,000 that they could be used, that could be used by that bank to make ag loans or consumer loans or Main Street loans or housing loans and mortgages. And I think that becomes important. Representative Broderick talked about some of the historical perspective, but The bottom line is, we did spend some time visiting with the municipalities, the municipal league, the associated school boards, the counties, and talked about the figure that we were looking at, not moving it below 100%, but just taking it down that 10%, and met with no opposition to the proposal that you have before you today. In addition, there are two folks that serve as sort of the caretakers of the public trust and public deposits in the state, and that's the director of the Division of Banking and the state treasurer. We've also visited with those folks, and I know that Director Duncan is here this morning, and Treasurer Butler was here the other day when the bill was scheduled originally, and have had conversations with both of those gentlemen and see that this proposal would not put the public's money at risk, and I think that's important. Representative Bradwick mentioned that quarterly we file reports with the state treasurer's office, and you can rest assured that those reports do not get filed where you say, yes, we have public deposits, but we're going to file a report that shows that we're not adequately collateralizing or pledging for those. Banks make sure that they are pledging appropriately before they get that form taken care of, and as a matter of fact, in conversations I've had with banks here in town even, there are banks that make sure their pledging requirements are met on a daily basis, or a little less frequently, but on a weekly basis they review, because these fluctuate. You may take in more city or county dollars at any given time, or school dollars, so they make sure that if an examiner, and we're a very highly regulated industry, that if an examiner comes in the door on Thursday, and one of the first places they look, I am reminded, is at the pledging requirements for public deposits, because this is your money, and this is your constituents' money, and it should be taken care of very well. They make sure that they're meeting the pledging requirements. So this simply lowers it by 10% to make those dollars available in the marketplace, Mr. Chairman. I would answer any questions, and I appreciate the chance to be here. Thank you,
Mr. Senator. Any other proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Dean Krogman, I represent the South Dakota Independent Community Bankers, and we are in favor of this bill as well.
Thank you, Mr. Krogman. Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any committee questions of the proponents? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would have a question for Mr. Sutton. Is the origin of the 110% pledge because when it says U.S.-backed securities, that could be a REIT, for example, or could be, you know, I mean, usually when people think of U.S.-backed securities, they think of Treasury bonds, which are worth the face value, but you could have a U.S.-backed security that fluctuates in value, and so having 100% might not meet your 100% requirement based on what, if you had to liquidate today, for example.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, if I may. I think the 110% requirement has a couple of origins, if you will. First of all, we had 110% in South Dakota years ago. Representative Broderick talked about banking in the early 60s, and I think at that point it was 110% pledging requirement. Then went away from the pledging requirement to a pooled concept where virtually everybody agreed that the percent, if there was a loss of public funds in a bank failure or for any other purpose, that technically you would be liable for the percentage of public deposits that you held in your institution. You would write out a check for that percentage of what was lost. So if a institution lost $1 million and you had 10% of all public funds in the state of South Dakota in your institution, you would write out a check for $100,000, and everybody would make that, the public dollars in that institution, whole. When we went back to 110%, it's my belief that the 110% pledging requirement was a requirement prior to as extensive reporting as we have now, where it's done on a quarterly basis to make sure the pledge is met, in the event that, to make sure that interest was also covered. So that was ultimately you wanted to have a little bit of a cushion to make sure interest was required. My response to that is, today the reporting is, as I mentioned, either daily, or certainly the reporting is quarterly, but the evaluation is either daily or weekly or monthly by institutions to make sure that they're pledging enough dollars. So the interest buffer, if you will, is probably not as big of an issue as it was when we were talking about this 20 years ago.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there any instance in the history of South Dakota where public funds have been lost, have had been made up in the last say, 50 years. Mr. Chairman, if I may, there is no instance in the last 50 years that I am aware of, and would certainly defer to our counsel and Tom Adam in the back of the room, but that the public deposits have been lost, certainly since the advent of the FDIC insurance in the 30s. Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Siebert.
I think you answered part of it, but the 100% includes the principal plus the interest.
Correct. Okay. Yes. Any other questions? Thank you. Any opponents? House Bill 1079. Opponents? Seeing none, we'll close the committee, the public testimony and committee action or discussion on 1079.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Solem.
The sponsor of the bill, Representative Broderick, referenced in his remarks that he was in banking like 40 years ago, going back into the 1960s. I would like to say that old bankers never die, they just lose interest.
Ooh. I don't think they'll lose interest either. Representative Solem.
Oh, Olson, I'm sorry.
Either you look really good or...
I do.
Well, Mr. Chairman, when I originally heard this bill, I did have some concerns, but hearing that the 100% covers the public money and interest, and hearing that really except for things, frankly, that's nobody's fault, like the Great Depression, this hasn't been an issue. It does seem that what we want to do is we want to protect public deposits. And if the protection of 100% is the principal and interest, then public deposits are protected. I don't know why you would have that extra cushion if, in fact, you're never going to pay it out. And so with those thoughts, I would move a due pass on House Bill 1079.
Do pass by Representative Wilson and seconded by Representative Solem. I got that right this time. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Badalka?
Aye.
Frederick?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Galinsky?
Aye.
Hanson?
Aye.
Madsen?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Belandra? Siebert?
Aye.
Knut?
Aye. Motion passes 12-0.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Badalka.
I move consent.
Second. Second by Representative Broderick. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Nay.
Come on, Colonel.
I think this one needs a little discussion on the floor.